Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Very excited to have the opportunity to share with you. Before I do, I'd like to tell you a little story, if you don't mind. Once upon a time, in a land further south than Fort Payne, Alabama, there lived a young military family with three small boys. And this family was preparing for their next duty station and a household move. They had 1 week before the move happened, and their house had been on the market for a month. They had a couple of lookers, but no offers. And so this family was getting just a little bit nervous because there was a mortgage payment to cover. And so they decided to put the house for rent as well as for sale. So now the sign in the front yard read for sale or for rent. And it came upon 3 days before the house would be vacant. The movers came, they boxed up all the household items. If you've ever gone through that, your house is full of boxes. Now, Friday was the big day where the boxes were put into the containers. So the family decided to fast and pray. They absolutely needed a miracle. The movers came Friday morning, the boxes were lined up in the driveway, and they proceeded to put the boxes in the container. About 4:30 that afternoon, there were a few boxes left waiting to be loaded into the container, and then the moving truck would head up to Virginia. A young boy was walking around the neighborhood and walked up the driveway and said, "Hey, are you guys renting this house?" We said, "Yes." He said, "Can I call my parents?" Because in 1993, teenagers did not have cell phones. We said, "Yes, we think the landline is still hooked up." And he went in and he called his parents. And they came over and looked at the house, and they decided they wanted to rent it for 1 year. Well, hallelujah, glory, this family was rejoicing as they loaded up their van and headed over to the beach to spend 2 days with Grandma and Grandpa before they left for their new place. The next morning, about 10 o'clock, they were sitting around the breakfast table having coffee, and the mother's phone rang, and she answered the phone, and the real estate agent said, "Bonnie, are you sitting down?" I said, "Yes, I am." She said, "I just sold your house." My heart dropped, and I said, "Dorothy, we just rented our house last night for 1 year." She said, "Bonnie, the buyers are military, and they're currently stationed in Puerto Rico, and they don't transfer for 1 year. They want to buy it in a year." Now, who does that? Never late, always on time, better than what you can expect or imagine. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I give you all glory. All goodness is yours. You are so faithful and kind. God, I pray that I would be a vessel that you would be pleased with this night, and that my words would absolutely be what you have given me to speak. In Jesus' name, amen. So God gave me this word about 2.5 months ago, it is, and it was on a Wednesday, and I happened to pop in here, and Pastor Spencer was back with the slide area. And I said, "Pastor Spencer, God gave me a word today." And he said, "Great, would you like to share it?" And I really wanted to. There was no hesitation because I knew in my spirit that was absolutely for God. Now, I knew that it was for me, but I do believe that it's for someone else, not just me. He said to me, "Your life is a miracle, and you are not valuing that miracle." Now, that can sting just a little bit, but I think he really wanted me to change my perspective of how I valued my life and what I was doing with it. The meaning, the definition of a miracle, a surprise and welcome event that is not explicable by nature or scientific laws and is therefore considered the work of a divine agency. It seems to me the human body, the ability to simply breathe in and breathe out, is the work of a divine agency. While scientists think that they have figured out the human body, the word says in Jeremiah 1:5, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." And you may say, sure, that was Jeremiah. That's not me. But could it be? In Psalm 139, 13 through 16, it says, "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully made. Marvelous are your works that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all are written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them." I titled this message, "Sustainer of Life," but before life can be sustained, it has to be given. And that's truly where the miracle begins. Genesis 2:7 tells us, "And the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." Take a moment and just let that sink in. Breathe in and breathe out. Breathe in and breathe out. That is the miracle of life. That's what sustains us, along with a few other things like a beating heart, blood flowing through our veins, and other precious elements. Do you know that there are 78 organs in the human body? There are 11 organ systems in the human body. And yet, without being told, we breathe in and we breathe out. We take between 12 and 20 breaths per minute, 720 to 1,200 breaths per hour. Our body just does it. It was made that way. Now, as we grow, life changes. We have birth, we have infancy, we have adolescence, we have teenagers, we have young adults. We have marriage, parenting, midlife, letting go of children, mature life, and late life. Life is a series of learning and developing, learning some more, developing, changing. I want to encourage you tonight, never stop learning. Never stop teaching. Never stop encouraging someone else. Be a discerner of the times. Know the times that you're living in and have confidence that God knows the time you're living in for such a time as this. And you may say, well, that's Esther. She was special. Yes, she was. She was a miracle, just like you and I. Life was breathed into her, just like you and I. When Esther arrived at the palace, Scripture says she was a young, beautiful Jewish girl. Years later, when Mordecai, her uncle, came to tell her of the plot that would destroy the Jewish nation, Esther had to make some decisions. Mordecai said to her, "Esther, don't you think in your heart that just because you're in the palace, you will escape what is to come?" Esther called a 3-day fast. And in that time, she had to develop wisdom, courage, and strength to go before the king, because it was against the law for anyone just to go to the king. She had to pray and believe that he would lower the golden scepter to her and she would have favor to enter and have conversation. God sustained her life, and he sustains our life every single day. We can't do anything apart from him. He is the vine, we are the branches. Our nutrients flow from God, the living word, and the living water, and the word, the bread, flows from the Lord. In Isaiah 46:4, and I really like how the NIV reads this, it says, even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he. I am he who will sustain you, and I am he. I made you. I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you. All through the Bible, we see God using man. We see man swayed by culture many times, unless the Spirit of God was on him. During the dark ages of Judges, the Israelites bowed down to the foreign gods of the other nations, forsaking their very own king, God Almighty El Shaddai. They did not want to be set apart as God had called them to be. In the New Testament, we see Paul continually writing letters to the various churches, reminding them not to gossip, not to backbite, not to complain, not to take the Lord's name in vain, not to be puffed up and prideful, but to walk humbly, not to bow down to idolatry, not to live immorally, but to keep God as the first priority, and not to get caught up in the culture of their time, that our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there. We cannot be conformed to this world and the culture that is trying to be pushed on us or on the next generation. We must be and stay set apart and kingdom focused. And the only way we can do that is by allowing the sustainer of our life to lead our life, by living in him and being led by the Holy Spirit, who doesn't just come on us, but indwells within us to guide our every step and decision. Life is precious. Don't think that your life is insignificant or it doesn't matter. He gave you breath, he gave you walk, and he gave you words. Use it for his benefit. Think about Joseph. God gave Joseph dreams. Now, it could be that he shared the dreams just a little bit too soon, but God had a purpose and a plan in all of it. Joseph saved his family. He saved the Israelite nation by allowing God to sustain him, by living righteously, by not bowing down to the culture of that time, and by not taking the easy way out. He did not live a life of mediocrity, which means to live below one's true potential. Joseph had purpose. And you might say, well, he was his father's favorite. Jacob loved him more than his brothers. Let me remind you, you are your heavenly father's favorite. He chose you, and you are the apple of his eye. Paul tells us to press on. We can't press on in our own strength. We can only press on through faith in the one that sustains our life. I think about Samson. Samson was set apart before birth, a Nazarite unto God from the womb. Now, Samson made some poor decisions, and eventually the Philistines were able to capture him and have their revenge on him. He was put in jail, prison. And he was a grinder of the grain. One day, the Philistines decided to bring Samson out of prison so that he could entertain them. They wanted to make a mockery of Samson. Samson didn't know his future. He couldn't see. But standing there, he asked the young boys, "Boy, put my hands on the pillars that I may prop myself up." And he thought to himself, "O Lord God, remember me, I pray. Strengthen me, I pray. Just this once, O God." And as he pushed on those pillars, in his death, he killed more Philistines than his entire life. In Genesis 28:15, God told Jacob, "Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken." In Deuteronomy 31:6, Moses tells the Israelites, "Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear or be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one that goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you." And in verse 8, Moses reminds Joshua in front of the Israelites, "And the Lord, he is the one that goes before you. He will be with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." The word is truth. We can bank on it. He is not going to fail us. Even in the New Testament, in Hebrews 13, it says, "I will never leave you or forsake you." Just like physical exercise strengthens our body, it strengthens our muscles, struggles in life strengthen our faith. As we see God come through time and time again, our faith is built up and it's matured, and we know that we can count on him. Press on regardless of what the future looks like, because we all know who holds the future, right? Yes, the enemy will come in and try to derail us, tangle us up, deceive us, take us off course. But if we're truly, truly being sustained by him, living in him, we can rest assured that he will be a light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet, and he will guide our every step. Gideon was called a mighty man of valor, and he looked around when the angel said that. "Not me. I'm the least of the least." Gideon was thinking by his own understanding and not God's. Gideon went on and he was a judge for 40 years. God's protective hand is on us. It's on our going and our coming. Again, in Psalm 139:17-18, David writes, "How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you." And in Psalm 92:14, it says, "They shall still bear fruit in their old age. They shall still be fresh and flourishing." Who is they in this verse? Well, verse 1 tells us it's the righteous, those in right standing with God, those set apart, those who allow God to sustain their life. Jesus lived 33 years. He hung on a cross and he died for my sins, for your sins, for the sins of the world, to reconcile the world back to God. All he did through his life was serve others. He only did what the Father told him to do. I'm almost twice his age, and I struggle with selfishness. But when I remember that I'm not my own, I've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus, a miracle, who would lay down his life for another, for the whole entire world? Only our Lord and Savior, Jesus. So why does he sustain our life? So that we can have everlasting life. He is the giver of life. He is the sustainer of life. And he is the everlasting life. Our human minds can't really understand everlasting life. But the spirit man that lives within us does understand everlasting life. And when we're born again, when we allow Jesus to come in and rule and reign in our heart, to have authority over our life, our spirit man grows. And the understanding of everlasting life becomes real. In John 3:30, Jesus told Nicodemus, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And to the thief on the cross, Jesus said, "Assuredly, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise." And in Philippians 3:21, it says, "Who will transform our lowly bodies to be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself." To truly understand everlasting life, we must have the mind of Christ. "This mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus," as it says in Philippians 2:5. But let's look at the scripture just a little bit closer and go back to Philippians 2:3. And I'm going to read through verse 8. "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." In 1 Corinthians 2:16b, it says, "But we have the mind of Christ." How is that possible? How can we have the mind of Christ? Well, if we go back and look at verse 12, 1 Corinthians 2:12. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God." It seems to me the miracle of life, salvation, the spirit indwelling in us are things that have been freely given to us. They're miracles. Now, I also believe in these amazing, wonderful miracles that I know that God can do. The blind to see, the deaf to hear, the lame to walk, the dead to wake up. But don't limit the precious miracle of your own life, your gifting, your calling, your purpose, your talent. Don't let it go another day being wasted. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, we are told, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." In Proverbs 13, 17b, it says, "A faithful ambassador brings good health." Well, I'd like to say that a godly ambassador brings life to those that are perishing. The definition of ambassador: an accredited diplomat sent by a country as its official representative to a foreign country. Earth is our foreign country. We are accredited diplomats, official representatives from heaven, the everlasting life, to reconcile the lost back to God. The thing is about this is it's very difficult to explain to the lost their value. They are a miracle. Their purpose, God Almighty, when you don't have an understanding yourself of your very own miracle, of the value of the life that God created within you. I realize that we are a New Testament church, and I love that. But these lives and miracles in the Old Testament, they bring us hope. They bring us assurance that God worked through them. He can work through me. He will never leave me or forsake me. While the life of a newborn baby is a miracle, it's precious, for only God can create life. There are miracles all around us every single day. It could be the sunrise for you. It could be the sunset. It could be nature itself. It could be the way your children make you smile. It could be the love you have for your spouse that has endured the test of time and the changes that life brings. But most likely, it's the sustainer of life himself, the great I am, God Almighty, the one that can't be explained, but he can be depended on in every single situation. He will never leave you or forsake you. He is the giver of life, the sustainer of life, and the everlasting life, and he deserves all glory and praise.
Thank you so much, Pastor Bonnie. What an incredible word. Don't rush off. You're good. Here. Bless the Lord. Amen. What an awesome word and a great reminder. And I was just thinking there as Pastor Bonnie was talking. Have you ever given somebody like a Christmas present or a birthday present and then you see them 3 or 6 months later and they're using what you gave them? That's like such a great feeling because you know that they didn't just like stick it in a closet. Or like, have you ever given something to someone and then you go to their house and like you find it in a closet and you're like, they never even use this. You know what I'm talking about? Could you imagine? God is the giver of life and he's the sustainer of life. He gave us that miracle. And when we are thankful for what he's given us, what that must mean to him. When he looks down and he goes, I gave them the miracle of life and they're not wasting it. I gave them breath in their lungs. I gave them the ability to be happy and joyful and be sustained and have meaningful relationships. And they're allowing me to sustain what I gave them in the first place. And I think that God looks down upon each and every one of you. And I can just sense just from you being here tonight, your attentiveness, your heart for God, that you're like, I really want God to sustain my life. Because I realize that only he can. He's the only one that can continue this miracle work that's taking place in each and every one of our lives. And so, Pastor Bonnie, thank you so much for what an incredible reminder and such a clear and concise way to show us through Scripture how God sustains and he provides. And even the story of you guys' family and what he did for you guys. And one of my favorite songs is, it is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. And like she was saying, we are a New Testament church, but the Old Testament bears record of the faithfulness of God and the New Testament, that we look back and it's like, you know, if there's a record of something, you can't argue with it, right? But the Bible is our record, our testament to go, God was faithful to Moses, he'll be faithful to me. God was faithful to David, he'll be faithful to me. That story tonight, God was faithful to Pastors Lauren and Bonnie, he'll be faithful to me. Because each and every one of us, we're going to come to times in our lives where we need to move and we need our house bought or we need a new job or we've got a medical situation or a financial situation. And I hope that when that happens, you remember how God was faithful in the Word, how God was faithful to Pastors Lorne and Bonnie, how God's been faithful in your life and how he will continue to sustain you. Amen. Stand to your feet tonight, if you would, as we close out this service. Thank you guys for being here. You don't have to rush off. You can feel free to hang out in fellowship. It's always wonderful to see you and get to spend time together as the body of Christ on these Wednesday evenings. Father, we thank you for this word. God, I thank you that every breath that we breathe in is a miracle that comes from you. And God, forgive us for how we are so ungrateful and we don't even take time to think about that. and praise you for it. But God, we thank you that you gave life, you sustain life. And Father, I thank you that you did not bring us this far to leave us, but you will continue to lead and guide us, even as the scripture that Pastor Bondi read out of Psalm 92:14, that even in our old age, we'll be fresh and flourishing. We'll keep bearing fruit, God. No matter how long we've been walking with you, there's still more that we can experience. And so, Father, I thank you that you are going to continue to lead and to guide us and to provide in every situation, every single thing that we need. God, we trust you to be the sustainer of our life. And I just encourage you this week to let God sustain you. You don't have to strengthen and do it all yourself. Let God be the strength of your life. Let God be the source of joy, his presence that brings that fullness of joy. And let him sustain the areas of your life where maybe you feel weak or you feel like you're wanting or you're needing. God, I thank you that you are all sufficient. And we have no need to look any further than you, for in you is all things. In fact, as it says, it's from you, through you, and back unto you, God. And so we give our lives back to you that you gave to us as miracles. And we just say we want to honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you. May he keep you in his peace. May he smile all over you. And I know that I know that I know that he will sustain you in every season, every situation, and everything that you ever face in life, because he is an all-sufficient God. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed. Love y'all so much. Thank you, Pastor Bonnie.